This morning's reading comes from a spiritual memoir that I read several summers ago. In truth, I've been preparing this sermon for about 2 years now. This memoir is entitled simply Devotion, written by a woman named Dani Shapiro. And these are some of her musings on loss and major life events. She writes, "Deep within my body, the past is still alive. Everything that has ever happened keeps happening. I might be meditating, and then suddenly, instead of sitting cross-legged on my bedroom floor in Connecticut, I am standing in a New Jersey hospital room hearing the news that my father has died. While lying still in pigeon pose, my forehead pressed to the floor, suddenly I am in my car driving up our driveway to see Michael, my husband, standing on our front porch, phone in hand. His eyes meet mine as I grow closer, and I know that my mother is gone. It's a seductive idea, closure, but I think it's a myth. The poet Anne Sexton was once asked why she wrote almost exclusively about dark and difficult subjects. Pain engraves a deeper memory, was her response. If God doesn't give us more than we can handle, is my least favorite bromide. My second least favorite is this: everything happens for a reason. We look for reasons in retrospect. We tell ourselves stories. Every near miss has a narrative. Since the time of the cave dwellers, we have attempted to take the random events of our existence and fashion them into something that makes sense. I got a call one morning from the inn down the road. A guest had seen my books in the gift shop and wondered if we might meet. We sat down to tea, and he said, "I was the last person who got on the last elevator to leave Windows on the World before the plane hit. Someone held the door for me. Once in the elevator, he rode all the way down to the lobby with his breakfast companion instead of getting off on the 78th floor to go to his office. His life saved not once, but twice, based on timing and split-second choices. I keep thinking there has to be a reason, something I'm supposed to do now. Only I don't know what it is. I was certain that there was no reason, no reason at all. There was only this: luck. Timing, consequences. Infinitesimal moments that added up to personal tragedies, personal miracles. There was only one thing to say. One thing I understood from my own life, my own personal tragedy. I had risen out of the ashes of that sadness and loss and did the only thing worth doing. I had tried to become a better person. You make it mean something. That's all you can do. Whatever the circumstances and experiences of our lives, I think we can relate to Danny Shapiro's reading. Life events have buffeted us and shaped us, moved us and molded us into who we are. We have each grown and changed and done so again and again and again throughout our lifetimes because of the constellation of things and people that have happened to come our way. It's a beautiful reading, is it not? There's a reason it stuck with me for 2 years. I have only one bone of contention to pick with Danny Shapiro, and that is that I think that, or perhaps it's with Anne Sexton, that I think that more than just pain engraves a deeper memory. There are profound moments in life. Yes, loss, but also birth and love, the joy of discovery, the experience of beauty, that engrave a deeper memory, that shape us, that leave impressions, like I was talking with the children about, on the Play-Doh of our lives. And this morning, I want to explore how we integrate those moments, how they shape us, and then how we reshape them, how we can and perhaps should use those amazing moments of our lives as tools for greater understanding of ourselves, but not only of ourselves, of also the world. When you reflect on the major events of your life, what do you notice? Are there common qualities that all of the experiences hold? When those big moments came your way, the car crash, the diagnosis, the birth of a child or a grandchild, the exquisite beauty of a sunset, how did you respond? How did you respond in the moment, and then how did you respond over time? Do you have any regrets about how well you handled those moments? Do you feel you fully absorbed them and made some meaning of the impact they had on you? Perhaps, in short, I could simply ask you, have you made sense of your life? The given in life, it seems to me, is that things will happen to you or to those you love that are at times inexplicably awful and at other times unaccountably sublime. We don't earn or deserve or ask for any of these moments. They simply are. The question is, what will we do with them? Sometimes it feels a little more like the question is, what will they do with us? I have a dear friend that I've known now for over 20 years. I spent some time with her this summer, and she decided that we have known each other now for 21 years, And she joked with me that in the United States, that means our friendship can now drink. She's a dear friend with whom I muse over these conundrums of life over and over again. A friend to whom I turn when I need to talk about what it means to be human, to wrestle with our mortality, to wrestle with understanding what it means to be alive. And as the reading suggests, the questions of why such things have happened to us, such inexplicably awful or unaccountably sublime things have happened to us, isn't really the right question. The why and whether some divine plan is at play doesn't much matter. In fact, I've noticed over time that sometimes the why clouds the issue, keeps us from doing the integrative work that we have to do because we are still asking why it happened, not what will I do with this. This friend of mine, for the sake of as much anonymity as I can grant her, which is not much these days, I'll call her Hannah, was trying to carry a lot these past few years. In particular, my friend Hannah had several close friends, contemporaries of hers, with spouses and young children who passed away from cancer. One of her close high school friends, in particular, struggled with cancer of an unknown origin and passed away at the age of 34, leaving behind her husband of 3 years, her parents, and her one-year-old daughter, who all wrestled with watching her suffer and die toward the end of her life. In fact, I remember Hannah talking to me about spending some time with this friend's parents, and the parents saying, "This is not the way it's supposed to go. You're not supposed to bury your children. What do I do with this? How do we go on from here? What sense do we make of this?" At the same time all of this was happening to her friends, my friend Hannah was struggling with her own problems, her own fertility woes in particular, trying again and again to conceive and being unable to do so in spite of much medical assistance, if it was any assistance. She was sad and unsure of what to make of all of these things. But as my remarkable friend was able to do, she was not despondent, sad but not despairing, not lost to grief and worry, just wanting, like the man at the end of the reading with Danny Shapiro, wanting it all to matter, to mean something for her own life. I remember at one point Hannah and I speaking, I think it was probably across Skype by now, her saying to me, "How will I live in a way that honors my friend, that allows my struggle to open more compassion and understanding towards others in my heart?" We talked about it then, and frankly, we still talk about it now. How do we have these transformative moments in our lives make the most of us? Make the best of us? Or should I say, how do we make something of them? When I think of such moments in my own life, I think of clay. I think of how moments of profound change loss, love, fear, joy, have picked me up from where I was on my journey in life, reshaped part of my being and my essence, and put me back down again as a changed person. Perhaps even in a different location on the map of my life. The spiritual challenge for me has been to do some molding and modeling and shaping of my own. For me to pick up the concept of my own life. What matters to me? What has value? Where my resilience resides? And push and pull and twist until the clay now resembles life with a capital L as I now understand it. I push and pull and mold that clay until my life makes sense to me again, till the clay fits the life that I now have, not the one that I had before everything changed. Let me close with a story. By far, I think I've told many of you this before, one of the hardest years of my life was 2002. The relationship that I thought was going to be the one ended when my partner of 5 years said that she was done. No real reason or explanation, just no longer invested in the relationship. My mother had recently been diagnosed with breast cancer, and then within a week of my breakup, my grandfather, the one with whom Demetrius shares a birthday, passed away. I felt completely untethered. So much of what had felt reliable and constant for me in my life was suddenly gone or in doubt. I found myself taking long walks with my dog, and it was as if I was trying to understand the new landscape and contours of my life. It's like I would walk out and be like, is this the same place? Is anything solid anymore? Can I believe in this? This cold air? This sharp intake of breath? What's real? What's true anymore? And I didn't come to some instant or miraculous resolution. I'd like to tell you that I was like a yogi and I immediately had this revelation and understanding and felt joy. No. It took a long time to heal. But what I did discover in the process was that I really like life. I would walk around feeling sad and feeling upset and just going, but you know, even the feeling sad is worthwhile. I realized that I find so much beauty and so much to appreciate, even when it requires more effort on my part. I found that some of my sources of sustenance were still there. I found that I had more of a spiritual life than I thought. I found that I was growing. And I discovered that this was happening because I was taking my grief and my confusion and my pain seriously. I was taking the pain seriously, but I wasn't making it everything. I had discovered that all that I had lost and all I was worried about was a lot, was big, but it wasn't everything. But I also was walking right through it. I wasn't avoiding the pain. I wasn't looking for something else to distract me. I was looking to take one step at a time right through the middle of that difficult moment in my life. I was doing my best to invite the lessons and the new understandings of that moment of challenge to pour into me. So may we, like my friend Hannah, and like Danny Shapiro, make those moments that have shaped us mean something. May we allow them to help us to become a better person. Because, as Danny Shapiro says, in some ways, that's all you can do. So for the blessings of life, for the richness of life, may we be ever aware, grateful when we can be, and in the company of compassionate others when it's just hard work. So may it be. And amen.